We begin, as we did last week, with the head of a renowned institute in Germany, led by a Swede. After Craig Rucastle showed us the cheeky way to deal with climate at home, and the great acceleration last Tuesday on ABC television brilliantly told the energy story, Johan Rockström talks now about our global future and its terrible urgency.
My assessment is that the world at large understands that we're facing a global climate crisis. In Madrid, at the climate COP25 meeting, an official plenary session was organized on the need to understand that we are facing a climate emergency. Science, youth, policy, finance, and indigenous communities all made a joint case for a state of climate emergency. Check out this session. It is quite a landmark in the 25 years of COP meetings. It is the plenary from 11th of December 2019 at 9 o'clock in the morning. It ended with the large stage being occupied by young people from the Fridays for Future, pleading with the adult powers in the room to act according to the emergency science now shows we're facing. But alas, despite a constructive shakeup in Madrid, the world is so far not capable of solving the planetary crisis. It is not so much due to the lack of understanding or even efforts being made. It's the lack of willingness to do what is necessary, to continue defending marginal change, and the inability to step outside of our conventional frameworks that lock in the economy, trade, politics, and power structures. With a state of planetary emergency, as with other emergencies, solutions that were previously considered impossible may become possible. Suddenly, introducing a global price on carbon may no longer be only in the realm of wishful thinking. And who knows, we might suddenly be able to have a serious discussion on stopping all funding for coal power and all finance flows for fossil fuel infrastructure already during this year of truth. Why not when we meet in Glasgow for COP26? And perhaps we can now finally talk about setting a global moratorium of destroying the remaining natural ecosystems on Earth, our insurance towards irreversible changes, thanks to their carbon sinks and their ability to circulate nutrients and water. A good point when world leaders can do this is when they meet in China later this year at the United Nations Convention for Biodiversity in Kunming. And honestly, we have quite some evidence of impressive action during other states of emergency. I mean, just take 9/11, Brexit, and the global financial crisis in 2008. These are different types of emergencies that have mobilized political power in a way that, bizarrely, we've never seen directed to save our planet. I mean, when did you last see a European Union or any finance minister shuttling back and forth, in this case to Brussels, to save the planet? It is now high time to change this. Over 1,000 municipalities and regions in the world have declared a state of climate emergency. 5 countries, the United Kingdom, Portugal, Canada, Argentina, and France, have done the same. The aim is not to create panic. It is to mobilize those in power in the world to act. This year, we want a proposal of declaring a state of planetary emergency on the agenda in the United Nations General Assembly. It remains to be seen if we will succeed. In August 2019, a memorial ceremony was held for Ókjökull Glacier in Iceland. It has melted and shrunk so rapidly that it has lost its status as a glacier. Dead ice, according to the glaciologists. The first official victim of global warming. This is occurring at 1.1 degrees Celsius, the warmest temperature on Earth since we left the last ice age, 12,000 years ago. I'm really sad to say we can now publicly announce the list of the first planetary victims of global warming. It is a largely unexpected list, and the victims have fallen at a faster rate than we scientists had anticipated. Victim number one, the Arctic summer ice. The rate at which the ice sheet has shrunk, and in particular that the ice now consists mostly of young first-year ice, so that in principle all the old multi-year ice is gone, means that the trend cannot be reversed. In 30 years, the Arctic will be an open sea in summer, which will impact the jet stream and cause extreme weather such as drought and heat waves in the countries in the Northern Hemisphere, from Canada, US to Scandinavia and Russia. Victim number two. Several glaciers in Western Antarctica may already have crossed a tipping point, which means that they are inevitably sliding out into the ocean. This would add another 2 meters of global sea level rise. For a long time, we thought that Arctic was the more sensitive of the poles. It now appears that Big Brother Antarctica is probably the more fragile of the two. Victim number three, our tropical coral reefs. This is a huge drama. 50%, yes, you heard correctly, half of the world's biggest marine ecosystem, the Great Barrier Reef in Australia, has already been lost. Coral reefs cannot cope with the heat. They are extremely important nurseries and spawning grounds for fish and a source of livelihood for over 200 million people. And many systems that can tip over from a good to a bad state have begun to show signs of shifting. The Northern Polar Jet Stream is one such system. The abrupt changes in weather from heat waves to extreme cold and drought in North America and Europe have one thing in common: changes in how the jet stream is behaving. This jet stream is a narrow band of strong winds that circulates from west to east around the Earth in the Northern Hemisphere around 10 kilometers up in the atmosphere. Meanders, big curves in this jet stream, generate gigantic planetary waves called Rossby waves, which control high and low pressure systems, weather fronts, and how warm and cold air masses move or remain stationary over northern latitudes. Where the jet stream is and how it changes has a direct impact on our weather. During the extreme years of 2003, 10, 18, and 2019, the jet stream exhibited some strange behavior. It slowed down and very deep Rossby waves were generated. In 2018, these waves ended up in a quasi-resonance which formed an unusually stationary seven-leaf clover-shaped pattern of weather over the entire Northern Hemisphere. These planetary waves resulted in high-pressure and low-pressure areas being locked, amplifying the extremely hot weather. In 2010, the jet stream showed a similar behavior, which resulted in wildfires and drought in Russia. At the same time, there were floods in Pakistan, where they got all the low-pressure systems that never came to Russia. Drought and heat waves in one place, torrential rain and cold in another place. The circulation of heat in the Atlantic is also shifting. We're now seeing a first sign that the ocean circulation of heat in the northern Atlantic is slowing down, which includes the Gulf Stream. An estimate is that it has slowed down by 15%, which is cooling down parts of the northern Atlantic Ocean, south of Greenland, which in turn is reinforcing extreme weather events, for example, affecting impacts in Scandinavia. The Amazon rainforest may be approaching a tipping point, which would irreversibly transform this richest land-based ecosystem on Earth into a savanna. Peatlands are emitting more and more methane and carbon dioxide now that the permafrost is thawing rapidly in the Arctic and on the Siberian tundra. And methane gas is leaking out of the East Siberian Sea as it gets warmer and warmer. Aren't these red flags enough? Isn't Mother Earth being clear enough with her warning signs? I mean, certainly there is scientific uncertainty around all of these potentially catastrophic tipping points, but the total evidence base is overwhelming. And as a summary, in an article in Nature, which we published in November 2019, we show that 9 of the 15 known major planetary systems that can tip over have now begun to move. Dear friends, the Arctic summer ice, the glaciers of West Antarctica, the tropical coral reefs are now already etched into the grave diggers' death lists. Let us avoid making that list any longer.
Yes, Johan Rockström, a professor and director of the Potsdam Institute for Climate Impact Research in Germany. And thanks to Radio Sweden.